So if this were true, why would there be anybody, you know, playing this one? Interesting question. And I think Jeremiah gives us the answer. The heart, he says, is deceitful, more deceitful than all else. And of course, the heart is that inner human. It's not our heart in 21st century Western world. It's not the romance or the love. It's the inner person. So probably we should say the mind or the inner person. Your inner you is exceedingly deceitful. Oh, well, that's encouraging. Desperately sick. King James translated that desperately wicked or exceedingly wicked or something like that. But the Hebrew is more to do with sickness, and in several places it is interpreted as incurable. So your inner you is exceedingly deceitful and incurable. Now, doesn't that sound right? I mean, just break out Google. You know, what's going on? You know, like, there's lots of proof for this. Think, even reflect over the last 12 hours, 24 hours of your own life, or maybe the last year, 10 years, 12 years, 60 years. So we get a little muddled, right? We're not clear on this picture. We think there's maybe a third way. A way where we can pick and choose a little bit of this. You know, God, I'll follow you here because then you'll bless me, you'll bless my family, you'll bless my work. But over here, I mean, that doesn't really matter, does it? Like, you know, who's caring, who's watching, who's, well, of course God is, but apart from that. And we play this weird little game, which is not real, okay? Like, that's what we need to hear today. We live in a little fantasy world, this little thing we spin for ourselves about who we are and about the way the world is and about what makes sense and what's the real consequences of things, what the real payoff is, the sorts of things that Jesus' blood is just going to kind of jump us out of completely scot-free or whatever. Like, we spin these things. We're in a little bit of a fantasy world. And Jeremiah, because of his call and his condition. Now, you might remember Jeremiah, like Isaiah, who we heard last week, very similar kind of passage. Jeremiah's task, his goal, his mission from God, was to be the voice that was ignored consistently as the country, the nation of Judah, went progressively into exile and decline and devastation. And Jeremiah journeyed the whole way through, alternately getting thrown into prison or dungeons or wells, a dry well, having threats on his life, people saying, yes, yes, oh, Jeremiah, that's good, sage advice, doing exactly the opposite. This is his lot, and he wrestles with this, he struggles. And Jeremiah is a real gift to us because he shares with us some of his heart. He shares with us some of what it's like to be that person following God, called and anointed, and yet coming up against the barrenness of a dead-end ministry, not seeing any success, any evidence that God is in it. Or the person who says yes to Jesus and then continues to struggle with health and well-being of spirit and mind, or perhaps health and well-being of body. These challenges, these things that come up against us in life, that the world would say, as the psalmist, you can read the Psalms too, you get a lot of the same stuff in the Psalms, as we saw, Psalm 1 and Jeremiah, repeating each other. You come up against these things, and the world says, like Job's wife, or Job's comforters, let's face it, Job, you're a sinner, that's why God is judging you. And the world tells us, If you had your little brown stuff together, guys, things would be going better for you. But obviously you don't, so it isn't. And Jeremiah wrestles through this. There's this lovely, there's these two, some of my maybe top 20 favorite verses. I know you've heard me say this is my favorite verse so many times that it's probably 50, but anyway, for sure in Jeremiah, my top two favorite passages are this one we just heard, and prior in Jeremiah chapter 10, Jeremiah says, I know, God, that it's not within the human to plan their own way. Therefore, God, correct me and judge me, but not in your anger, lest I be brought to nothing. So you get the picture here? Jeremiah's like, you know, humans think they can make their own way. That's what they think. But I know that's not true. Humans can't see tomorrow, so they really can't make any good or real plans about tomorrow. Humans don't even know their own heart, as Jeremiah's just reminded us, let alone what the future will hold. So he says, God, I need correction. I need to make sure I'm on the right path. The psalmist says this, right? Psalm 139. Lord, search me, try me, know my heart, see if there be in me any unclean way, any harmful way, and then lead me on paths of righteousness. And then Jeremiah says, correct me, but not in anger. He's like, get me before I need the big stick, God. Like, can we do this the gentle way? I'm open. I know I need your correction. If I just stubbornly kind of head down and powering through, that's big stick time potentially. So I'm going to preempt that. I'm going to say, come visit me, Lord, in your correction, in your judgment, not in anger, lest I be brought to nothing. So Jeremiah has this prayer. He continues to wrestle with his call. In Jeremiah chapter 15, we get this lovely sort of lovely because it's gut-rot honest. I mean, it's down-to-earth honest. It's the wrenching of his own inner being. And he says, God, are you like a deceitful stream to me? I've hoped in you for my salvation, and it's drying up. It's like the traveler in the desert. He knows there's an oasis. He knows he's going to have water here. He's planning for it, for his livestock, his own ability to survive. And he comes over the hill, and it's dried up. And that's what Jeremiah is wrestling with. And sometimes that happens in the Christian life, that God seems to just dry stuff up. And you're like, I thought you were going to be good. That's what you said. You said I could trust you, and now this? And then it seems like Jeremiah's resolved that here in chapter 17. Cursed is the one who placed their hope in humanity, who makes humans their confidence, whether that's this human or any other human. And Jeremiah realized that part of what was happening is he wanted the leadership, potentially, I'm surmising, he wanted the leadership in Judea, in Jerusalem, to begin to turn. That his hope was still in God doing something in their hearts, changing the government, changing the religious leaders, changing all the other prophets who were prophesying opposite to what Jeremiah was prophesying. And that wasn't happening. And Jeremiah says, you betrayed me, God. And God said, I didn't promise you to change their hearts. Jeremiah, you can't judge the heart of humans. So anyway, cursed is the man who places his hope in humans. Blessed is the one whose hope, whose trust is in God, whose God, the Lord, is his trust. Blessed is that person. And then Jeremiah says, you're right, God. I don't know what's going on in the hearts of people. The heart is deceitful, my own heart included. Who can know it? And God says, I, the Lord, test the mind and the heart to give according to each person their just deserts. Everybody will have what they have coming for them in God's own time. So Jeremiah, you can let go of that. That's an anxiety you don't need to carry. that's a concern you do, is not yours, even your own righteousness or unrighteousness is not yours to carry. And there's this subtle sort of thing that can happen when we're good religious people. So we can start playing that fantasy game again. We're like, okay, I'm done with this. God, I'm going to trust you, not trust humanity. You know, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who's the Lord is his trust. That's good. Settle that. Now, how can I be a good Christian? And what have I just done? I quit looking there. Now I'm looking back here again. So even our own, there's a freedom by admitting that our own heart is deceitful and incurable. Jesus didn't promise to cure you today or yesterday or tomorrow, although he may, and I think there should be the thrill of returning health. There's this lovely picture in a book by the Thomas Covenant books by Donald R. Stevenson. He's a leper, lost all feeling in his extremities. He goes into this alternate universe by going unconscious. Anyway, that's the premise for the book. It's a fantasy book. In the new land, of course, he has all his feeling back. And it's this, like, that's part of the underlying theme of the whole series, is that juxtaposition about what does health look like. But anyhow, there should be some of that. We should be becoming healthy, to be sure. But any time we begin to believe that we're no longer desperately deceitful and incurable, we've begun to take our mind and our eyes off of God, whose word said, there is none righteous, not one. All have turned away. And I've begun to spin some sort of fantasy world again, looking at myself. Myself has now become, again, the God, the thing I orbit around. But now it's a new self, of course, a redeemed self, a Christian self, a little Jesus self. But the focus is still me. And Jeremiah can't do that. He's in a ministry that's absolutely impossible. When he takes his eyes off of God, he's like Peter on the water, right? You remember the story? If it's you, Lord, call me. Yeah, Peter, come. He gets out, he starts walking on the water, he looks down, he's like, what the heck am I thinking? Starts to sink, took his eyes off of Jesus. It runs so deep in us to trust ourselves. It's an instinctual response. You have to work extremely hard not to trust yourself, not to look to yourself. And of course, with that instinctual response is the desire to pet and stroke and laud ourselves, right? Oh, pretty boy, pretty boy. And Jeremiah says, you can't live there, folks. You have to keep your eyes on God, plain and simple. And the beautiful thing is that this is not just Paul giving us a doctrine, although Paul shares his own, you know, his own angst. But this is the heart of Jeremiah. We see what this looks like. We see how he journeys and how he wrestles with this. And I think we can trust his conclusions. Now, this is why I think, so when we get to the Gospels, we run the danger of hearing Jesus saying something like this: God hates it when you have fun. Go out and be miserable. Then you'll be happy, sort of, in a weird way. And that's not what Jesus is saying, I don't think, and that's not what God is saying. I think Jesus is saying something like this. Given the conditions under which humans live in this world, A, deceitfully, desperately deceitful, incurable, B, in a fallen world, those are truly blessed who have their eyes open and don't run that little fantasy thing their whole life. The worst thing that can happen to you and I is for things to go well. When things go well, we don't think, we don't engage, we don't develop compassion. Now, some of us are just naturally nice people, right? We're very compassionate people. But those of us who aren't, we need a wake-up call. We need a shock. We need a reminder that it's not us and them, it's us. We're all in this together. We all labor under the burden of the brokenness of humanity and the brokenness of our world. It's not that guy over there, or these people. No, it's us. And there's only one solution. Look up. Look up. So when it's a birthday party every day, and you're the center of attention, and there's cake and presents, and you're not putting on weight, and, you know, life is great. But we need those other days. Those other days are a call to us from Him, our Creator, who says, do you really want to end up like this? That's what they say. That's what He's saying. This tree looked really good until the hard times came, until the heat got over 102 in the shade. And that's Fahrenheit. 40, whatever. Yeah. This tree looked really good until the little brown stuff came undone. God says, wouldn't you rather be like this? When the storms come and the heat comes, it thrives because its roots run deep into the very life of the universe. At the center of the universe is a God of love, but you do not benefit from that unless your roots run in to Him and into His life. This is my vision for St. Barnabas. According to the purpose of God revealed in Jesus Christ, who, conquering death, has freed us from sin so we might thrive, whatever the inner circumstance or the external circumstance. May it be so among us. Come, Jesus, bring your purpose to fruition. Make us verdant as we follow you in love. Amen.